In the name of Jesus. Amen. Dear friends, today we watch Jesus' disciples. We learn that it is really important where you go to church. And that may sound a bit scandalous, sounds a bit countercultural. How dare I suggest such a thing? But if we learn anything from watching the disciples in our gospel lessons tonight, it needs to be said, where they went to church, where they went for forgiveness, changed their lives. Judas knew that he had messed up. He had betrayed Jesus, who was without fault or evil. He had betrayed his friend, his master, his teacher, his Lord. He hadn't heeded the warnings and the prophecies that the Lord gave him. He didn't hesitate when the Lord looked at him and said, "What you do, do quickly." He didn't even stop when Jesus told him, "Friend, do you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" Now Judas knew that he had done evil, and in his shame and despair, he went back to the priests who had given him the money. What did they do? Where did they direct him? And they said to him, "What's this with us? This isn't our problem. This is your affair." He was directed back to himself. Back to himself from the very people who had handed him the money. St. Peter knew that he had sinned too. He had denied his Lord 3 times. He said he wouldn't. He even swore that he wouldn't. He would rather die with Christ than do such a thing. But yet here he was in the courtyard of the high priest. And just as Jesus said, Peter denied his Lord. "I don't know what you mean. I don't know that man." And then finally, when his accent had given him away, Peter called down curses from heaven with bleepity bleeps. He said, "I do not know the man." Right at that moment, Peter remembered the Lord's words, "Before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times. His Lord looked at him from across the Sanhedrin, even outside, and saw him, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. The shepherd is struck. The sheep have fled. Christ stands alone before the high priest. Interrogated, he answers their indignant questions as they beat on him. Is that the way to talk to the high priest? He is mocked. Then they beat him some more. "Prophesy to us, Christ, the name of the one who struck you. For Peter, for you, for me, for Judas too, even for Judas, Jesus is struck. He died for Judas too." We usually put Judas in a world of bad people. When the worst of people come to mind, murderers, child molesters, Hitler, maybe that guy Gaddafi, and Judas, the one who betrayed the Lord. But before we judge Judas too harshly, let's look at our own sins. It doesn't take us 30 pieces of silver to betray our faith, does it? It takes a look. It takes a certain group of people that we're trying to impress. It takes an opportunity to do something that we think we can get away with that no one will ever know about. It takes an instant where you think that you can get credit for something you don't deserve, or get that last insult in that will put that person in their place for all time. A lie here, a fib there, a little smidgen of slander, a moment of online porn, an instant of hatred, a little bit of game playing that makes someone else's life a little bit more difficult, a touch of coveting, a sprinkle of disobedience, and a pinch of despising God's word. And to top it all off, we add a dose of self-righteous justification. At least I'm not a murderer or some betrayer like Judas. It doesn't take 30 pieces of silver or the threat of debt to get us to betray or to deny our Lord. We're ready to do it for far less, and we do it daily and much. Oh, but we know how to judge others, even Judas. We're as bad as the priests pinching their nose in disgust as they hold with two fingers the 30 pieces of silver, the very money they paid Judas. It's your business. We can't do anything with this money. It's blood money. Well, you gave it to him. And being sorry isn't enough. That's not repentance. Just being sorry for what they did didn't save Peter, and it didn't save Judas. They had sorry enough. What they really needed was a Savior. Christ, he is our Savior. He is beaten for us. He is bruised for our transgressions. The chastisement that earns our peace falls upon him. And by his stripes, by his beatings, we are healed. For you, for me, for Peter, for the disciples who ran from him, even for Judas he suffers. Every mocking, every bruise, every bit of blood splattered is to save us from our denial of him. Tonight we learn about repentance. Repentance isn't just being sorry. It's being sorry and having a Savior. It's not just contrition. It's contrition and faith in Christ. Faith in Christ is where Judas went wrong. He went to the wrong place for his forgiveness. His betrayal of Jesus was unthinkable, but it was forgivable. As forgivable as Peter's denial, as forgivable as my sins, as forgivable as your sins too. Judas, though, went to everywhere for his salvation but to Christ. He did what he thought was best, and when he realized he had done evil, he went to the wrong church. He went to the church where they directed him back to himself. Dear friends, I realize that we all want to be understanding. We want to be open-minded. We want our kids to go, when our kids go someplace else to church, we want to comfort ourselves with at least they're going to church. And I realize what I'm saying tonight is a bit harsh and tough, but look at Judas. Learn from his death. All religions are not the same. All faiths are not the same. It matters where you go to hear the word, or that you go to a place to hear the gospel. Accept nothing from this pulpit or from any pulpit that you attend other than the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. If you can comprehend a sermon apart from the cross of Christ, if it makes sense apart from the suffering and death of your Lord Jesus Christ for your sins, then it isn't a Christian sermon. If it doesn't have Christ in, through, all at the center, how can it be Christian? For when you are sorry for what you've done in this world, when you are woefully ashamed of your sins, you are in a precarious situation. You can be directed back to yourself. And if you are, you'd be lost. You must find hope and salvation in the cross of Christ alone. Repentance is not only that you are sorry for your sins, but that you believe God's holy word, his gospel, and that you are forgiven in Christ. That you believe that Jesus' holy life was lived for your sinful life. And that his sacrifice counts even for your sins. Demand that preaching, dear friends. Expect that gospel. Put that gospel into the ears of your children. Settle for nothing less than Jesus Christ and him crucified. For when you have denied Christ by the way you live, when you have betrayed him by what you say, run to the place where you hear Jesus say, as he did to Peter, that your sins have been forgiven, that your debt has been paid, and that your deep, dark deeds, even the secret ones, have been answered for. For where you go to church is a life and death proposition. Learn that from St. Peter and in the death of Judas. For we are saved by the holy life and bitter sufferings and death of Jesus alone. Today, Christ is in the courts of the high priest for the whole world. For the whole world he suffers. For Peter, for Judas, for you, and even for the worst of sinners, me. Happy Lent, in the name of Jesus. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in this Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.